Jesus bless you with this peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, Kingman, Arizona, anticipating the 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass on this 16th day of January 2016, liturgical cycle year C, anticipating the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1-5, Psalm 96, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4-11, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2, verses 1-11. Praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." But his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then Jesus told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it had come from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday we celebrated the baptism of the Lord, which was a closure to the Christmas season, but also teaching us about the divinity of Jesus and revealing to us the doctrine, we might say, but more the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in prayer, the Holy Spirit coming upon him like a figure in the figure of the dove, and then the voice that comes from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have sort of an interruption, an insertion here of the Gospel of St. John, because next Sunday we'll go back to the Gospel according to St. Luke. And in this particular insertion, we see again the divinity of Jesus. His hour had not yet come, and yet he's willing to submit to the request of his mother. It is a wedding, a happy occasion, and a sad occasion in one sense when the wine runs out. But Jesus takes charge, and there is plenty of wine for anybody and all, which has a deep spiritual meaning according to the intent of St. John. In fact, the whole gospel has a very deep spiritual meaning. On the third day, We are reminded by commentators on the scripture that we should be thinking of chapter 19 of the book of Exodus as well as chapter 24, but particularly chapter 19, where Moses has led the people out into the Sinai desert. And God has said he will reveal himself to the people and that they should prepare themselves, they should purify themselves for the next 3 days. For on the third day, the Lord is going to manifest himself. He will show himself to the people. The people are excited and they purify themselves for 3 days. On the third day, then the Lord shows his power on the mountain of Sinai. But the reaction of the people in seeing the power of God is one of terror. They hear the trumpet blast, the mountain shakes, there's fire, there are clouds, and they get scared. In chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, the Lord invites 70 elders along with Moses and Aaron, and on Mount Sinai, he reveals himself. And this time, they see God. The emphasis is that they see God and they do not die. They are still able, after the experience, to eat and drink. After this experience of the people with God in chapter 19, they say, "Moses, you speak to God, and we will do everything he tells us to do." A similar thing in chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, when the elders and Aaron and Moses are there before God. The elders say to Moses, "We will do everything that the Lord is asking of us. Whatever he tells us, we will do." So St. John is calling that out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Exodus, and putting it here into the gospel to remind the Israelites that God is fulfilling his promise. He expects them as his faithful people, as his servants, to do everything that he will tell them to do. Jesus then takes the role, and John has many indications here of the divinity of Jesus all throughout his gospel, building up to a final climax in the gospel in chapter 8, where Jesus, in arguments with the Jews, says finally, "I am who am. Before Abraham, I am." And so here Jesus, without saying it, but by his miracle, changing water into wine, is saying to his disciples and the people at the wedding feast, "I am who am. I am your God. I am your God made flesh." It's pointed out, too, that in the entire Gospel of St. John, unlike the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that John never refers to, or Jesus never refers to, his mother by name, Mary. He calls her woman here in this particular event. "Woman, how does your concern affect me?" We know then, particular to St. John, that right before Jesus dies, he looks at the woman at his feet, his mother, obviously, and he says, "Woman, behold your son." And looking at the disciple whom he loved, implicating St. John, "Son, there is your mother." Not that Jesus is giving a cold shoulder to his own mother, but rather by this simple phrase, "woman," he is putting Mary, his mother, on a new level of understanding. He's putting her out there for the whole world. "Woman, behold your son. Woman, how does your concern affect me?" The first woman, Eve, fell for the lie of the serpent. Mary is mentioned first in this whole incident. The mother of Jesus was there. She is the first person mentioned in this description of the wedding. Then Jesus is mentioned, and then his disciples. Meaning, Mary now takes the place of the old Eve, and she becomes the mediatrix, as St. Augustine would point out, between Jesus and the people of God. Which would mean then for us that Mary is still mediatrix between us and her son Jesus. Mary becomes our mother, the new Eve. She becomes the model of the church that, as we see both in the Old and New Testament, is referred to in the feminine case. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Or even at the end of the book of the Apocalypse, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. The bride being the church, calling out to Jesus, her bridegroom. And so, the presence of Jesus at this wedding feast is fulfilling what we heard in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, that the Lord delights in you. No more shall you be called forsaken or your land desolate. You shall be my delight, your land espoused. The Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Now we understand how intimate of a relationship the Lord wishes to have with all of us. That it is a relationship not of master and servant, or even friend to friend, or mother to child, but rather bride to and groom, bridegroom and bride. Very, very intimate. It reminds us of the parable in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, where the Lord refers to the people of Israel as his daughter virgin, who by her unfaithfulness has prostituted herself, much to his dismay. But nonetheless, he says, I will still take you. I will claim you as my own, especially in the prophet Hosea, where the Lord says, I will marry you to myself. So all of this has so much rich meaning that we can keep going on and on. But it encourages us as we hear how the Lord interrupts human history and becomes actually part of it. Interrupts the laws of physics, changing water into wine just by telling the servants to fill up the water jars. The purification of water now is purified with the best of wine, which should remind us of the blood of Jesus flowing from his Sacred Heart when he's dying on the cross after a soldier has lanced his side. Blood and water flow out, purifying the church. It reminds us too of the parable we find in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says, I was in the temple and a stream of water started pouring out, and it became a stream that I was to walk across, and it came up to my ankles. Then the angel told me, again, measure out and walk, try to go across the water. And it came up to my knees. And later then, there was so much water coming out of the temple that it was impossible for him to swim the great river. Thus, the mercy of God, the grace of God, is beyond imagining, more abundant than we can handle. Thus, the whole ministry of Jesus has begun. But it doesn't end simply with his doing signs and wonders here on this earth. But it continues in our own day and age, until he comes again with the assurance of blessing us with eternal life. We find then this as our good news and encouragement. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." The prophets were inferior to Jesus. But by the presence of Jesus, the time has become the best time. Jesus, the prophet of prophets, the king of kings, the lord of lords, the god of gods. And now, we continue with our adoration of the Lord.